This is the Roots Rock Radio Show, number 141, rrradio.com. Hey everyone, welcome to the Roots Rock Radio Show number 141, the first show of the official summer of 2010. I hope that you've been enjoying your summer so far, maybe taking in a baseball game of your hometown heroes. Speaking of baseball, that rookie pitcher that the Washington Nationals have is simply amazing, Steven Strasburg. He's magical to watch, 100 mile per hour fastball. He's all of 21 years old. So in the United States, we celebrate the 4th of July as a national holiday. But what does July 4th actually celebrate? It might not be exactly what you think. I'll give you that answer later in the show. So pop music is alien to me these days. By pop music, I mean music that's played on popular radio. It has been for a really long time. Although I must admit that I did enjoy the Lady Gaga telephone video. But I can tell you that it's not because of her songwriting or the style of music. So what's happening with real rock and roll these days? It's out of vogue and rarely played on the radio. This reminds me of the disco phase of popular music in the 1970s. Disco dance music dominated the radio waves. Then along came the Sex Pistols, punk rock, the Stray Cats, new wave, etc. I know and you know that rock and roll music is out there. It's being played by bands all over the globe. I get their CDs every week and play these bands on this show. Remember to support these real rock and roll bands by going to their concerts, visiting their websites, downloading their songs, and buying their CDs. If nothing else, just shoot them an email to let them know that you appreciate them. For some reason, people have a tendency to shoot an email off when they have a negative reaction to something, but they forget that the bands appreciate just a regular email to let them know that you like their music, like their song, etc. Here's some dates in rock and roll history. July the 3rd, 1969, Brian Jones drowned while under the influence of drugs and alcohol after taking a midnight swim in his pool. He was 27 years old. His body was found at the bottom of the pool by his girlfriend, Anna Wallen. The coroner's report stated death by misadventure and noted his liver and heart were heavily enlarged by drug and alcohol abuse. Brian was one of the founding members of the Rolling Stones in the early 1960s. He used the name Elmo Lewis. There is a carpenter working on Brian Jones's house at the time. I believe he was working on the kitchen doing cabinets and stuff. And on his deathbed, years back, he admitted that he accidentally drowned Brian Jones while goofing around with him in the swimming pool. He said he held him underwater a little too long and Brian died. Also in 1969, the Rolling Stones gave a free concert in London's Hyde Park before an estimated audience of 250,000 as a tribute to Brian Jones. Mick Jagger released 3,500 butterflies in his honor. It was also coincidentally Mick Taylor's debut with the Stones. He replaced Brian Jones. Another death date for July the 3rd, this time in 1971, American singer, songwriter, and poet Jim Morrison of the Doors was found dead in the bathtub in Paris, France. The cause of death was given as a heart attack. On the 25th anniversary of his death, an estimated 15,000 fans gathered at Père Lachaise Cemetery in Paris to pay their respects. I visited Père Lachaise, and I'll talk about it later in the show. I remember exactly where I was when I heard the news that Morrison had died. I was in Eldersburg, Maryland by the Exxon station. We were getting ready to go to Ocean City for a vacation early in the morning. It was a week later, approximately July the 10th, because they didn't announce Morrison's death until after he was buried and in the ground. And here's the third death for July the 3rd, 1972 blues singer guitarist Mississippi Fred McDowell. The Rolling Stones covered his You've Got to Move on their Sticky Fingers album. He also coached Bonnie Raitt on slide guitar technique. Some other rock and roll news, John Lennon's handwritten lyrics to the Beatles song A Day in the Life have sold for $1.2 million. It was well above the price expected at this auction. The double-sided sheet of paper with notes written in felt marker in blue ink was sold at Sotheby's in New York. The lyric sheet also contained some corrections and other notes penned in red ink. The song, co-written with Paul McCartney, is the final track on the band's 1967 Sgt. Pepper's album. The buyer was an anonymous American telephone bidder. The lyric sheet had previously belonged to Mal Evans, the Beatles' road manager. According to the auction house, the previous record for his sale of Beatles lyrics was All You Need Is Love, which fetched $1 million in 2005. The BBC banned airplay of the track in 1967 because of the lyric, I'd Love to Turn You On, which was interpreted as a reference to drug use. First up, The Worrymen. You're listening to Roots Rock Radio, your home for the best indie roots rock and real rock and roll from around the globe. RRradio.com.
Yeah. last night, I dreamed of a foreign land. Well, I woke up in the sand, a desert of hypnotic lights. As I walk, the sun, it burns my back. To escape, I had to crawl on the ball.
Get enough. fried potatoes and gravy. It'll drive me crazy. Don't fool with my pie. I'll put a fist in your eye. Don't take my banana pudding. I'll slap your good. Don't put me on no diet. I'll start a riot.
We just heard Elvin Bishop. We heard his tune, Fat and Sassy. On the web, elvinbishopmusic.com. That CD was courtesy of Chip from Mile High Productions. Elvin Bishop was a founding member of the groundbreaking Paul Butterfield's blues band in the early 1960s. And he had pop success with his 1976 smash, Fooled Around and Fell in Love. Before that, we heard Ted Stevens, This Girl's Like Kryptonite. On the web, tedstevens.44.com. I got an email from Ted. He says, Hi Richard, thanks in advance for listening to my new CD release and for supporting indies. I certainly will cross-promote on my websites. Peace, Ted Stevens. Thank you, Ted, for sending in your CD. Before that, we heard from the Rumblejets. We heard their tune, Speed. Rockabilly from the Heartland, Kansas City. On the web, rumblejets2t's.com. The Rumblejets were featured on earlier Roots Rock Radio shows as well. Their albums are sold on Amazon, iTunes, Napster, CD Baby, Best Buy, and Raucous Records. And opening this set, we heard from the Worrymen. We heard their tune, Paste, from Scottsdale, Arizona. On the web, myspace.com, Worrymen Music. They're a new band to Roots Rock Radio. I got a letter from them with the CD. It says, Richard, once again, thank you so much for your invitation to submit the CD. We are very excited for the chance to get to any support and feedback, especially from a mainstay of the podcast community. All the best, Chris and the Worrymen. The Worrymen are a band from Metro Phoenix, Arizona. The band draws influences from a range of roots rock, alt-country, indie, and garage groups. The current lineup of the Worrymen formed in 2007. The album is available online at iTunes, CD Baby, and at their gigs. Here's some listener email. Dear Richard, I voted for your site and left the following. I stumbled on this podcast and really enjoy it. If you like Chuck Berry to the Stones to Robert Gordon, Evan Johns, and the H-Bombs, you'll enjoy the selections played. I'm wearing out the internet, visiting all the new artist sites. Look forward to each new podcast and am now going back into your show archives. A big thanks for your efforts. Mitch from Virginia. Thanks, Mitch, for your email. It's appreciated. We have another message from another listener, John from Salt Lake City. He says, Thanks, Richard, for Roots Rock Radio. I listen to it while gardening and working outside. Love to rock outside. I look to the show notes where I can find some more of the music I really like. Cheers, John. John also bought a copy of the CD and contributed to help fund Roots Rock Radio. His money is going right to help with the P.O. box, which is due at the end of August. If you'd like to help contribute to fund Roots Rock Radio, there's a link on the main page at rrradio.com. The P.O. box is coming up due in a couple of weeks. Thanks for your support. So here's some dates in rock and roll history. In 2000, Cub Coda, Michael Cub Coda, founding member of Brownsville Station, died of complications from kidney failure. He wrote the 2 million selling 1974 hit Smokin' in the Boys Room, which Motley Crue later covered. He took his nickname from Cubby on television's Mickey Mouse Club. He was working with Star Rhythm Records, the label that I was on at that time. We also went to Paris together. It was in support of his record on the New Rose label in Paris. We had a blast. I remember the first night we were there in Paris, we went to a cafe and started drinking cafe au lais. Well, hours passed and we were all fired up. We were still gabbing away hours later at that cafe. One Sunday morning, we went to see Jim Morrison's grave together. Cub was a very cool rock and roller. He had a lot of knowledge about blues and rockabilly, especially the early stuff. He had lots of stories. constantly telling stories. One such story was he told me the band wrote and recorded Smoking in the Boys' Room after they sent their manager to the store to get him out of their recording studio. Cub, whatever you're doing, I hope you're having a good time. It was a pleasure knowing you. Next up on the Roots Rock Radio Show, number 141, Kevin Lee and the Kings. You're listening to Roots Rock Radio, your home for the best indie roots rock and real rock and roll from around the globe. RRradio.com.
Head down your back. You got something that I've never seen before. Outside a rain falls down, falls on his ghost town. We're inside breaking ground.
Can't fall down.
remember when the wolf comes round. You can't fall down, baby, when you're already on the ground. Can't fall down. Cross your fingers and catch it straws. Just remember when the wolf comes out. You can't fall down, baby, when you're already on the ground. Can't fall down. Can't fall down.
Thank you. got your memory playing on my mind tonight. I got a need to hold you close and oh so tight. This whiskey cannot ease my pain. My heartaches come back time again. I've got your memory. Got your memory playing on my
We just heard Bob Handrill and Dino Cocchia from Note Records. We heard their tune, Natural Selection. On the web, note-music.co.uk. Before that, we heard from Rant and Rave. We heard their tune, On My Mind Tonight. On the web, myspace.com, Rant and Rave site. They're from London and from the Southeast UK. Americana Shakedown is the name of their CD. It focuses on Americana music and has everything from straight country to rhythm and blues and rock and roll. I got a letter with the CD. Dear Richard, thanks for your contact via MySpace. As requested, please find the debut CD, Americana Shakedown, of the Essex band Rant and Rave. The CD was released on April the 12th, 2010, and is a collection of songs expressing the emotions and experiences of life's loves and hates. Its upbeat styles range from country to rock and roll with a side dish of everything else. Cajun, swamp rock, rhythm and blues, folk, and honky-tonk. We very much appreciate your interest and would love to be added to the playlist for the Roots Rock Radio Show. Playing a song or two on your show and any mention of the band would be a great boost. Yours sincerely, Sandra Brown, Rant and Rave. Well, thank you, Sandra, for sending in the CD. We appreciate the support of Rant and Rave. Before that, we heard from Eric Hovey. We heard his tune, Can't Fall Down, on the web, erichovey.com. That's E-R-I-C-K-H-O-V-E-Y. I got a letter from Eric with the CD. He's from Iowa, Fort Dodge, Iowa. He says, hi, Richard and Close, please find my two latest CDs. Let me know if you get a chance to spin them. Thanks for listening. In opening the set, we heard Kevin Lee and the Kings. We heard his tune, The Other Side, on the web, myspace.com. Kevin Lee and the Kings, and also KevinLeeOnline.com. He's from Chicago. His CD is called Dusk Till Dawn. So, I'm going to answer the question about July the 4th now. During the American Revolution, the legal separation of the American colonies from Great Britain occurred on July the 2nd, 1776, when the Second Continental Congress voted to approve a resolution of independence that had been proposed in June by Richard Henry Lee of Virginia. After voting for independence, Congress turned its attention to the Declaration of Independence, a statement explaining this decision, which had been prepared by a committee of five with Thomas Jefferson as its principal author. Congress debated and revised the declaration, finally approving it on July the 4th. On July the 2nd, John Adams had written to his wife, Abigail, the second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other. From this time forward, forevermore. Adams' prediction was off by 2 days. From the outset, Americans celebrated independence on July the 4th, the date shown on the much-publicized Declaration of Independence, rather than July the 2nd, the date the resolution of independence was approved in a closed session of Congress. This is the part that most people get wrong. One of the most enduring myths about Independence Day is that Congress signed the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776. Congress actually signed the declaration on August the 2nd, 1776. In a remarkable series of coincidences, both John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, the two founding fathers of the United States and the only two men who signed the Declaration of Independence to become president, died on the same day, July the 4th, 1826, which was the United States' 50th anniversary. You can view the original Declaration of Independence at the National Archives in Washington, D.C. Not a copy, the real one that was actually signed. The one that Nicolas Cage pretended to steal in the film National Treasure. Some odd news at newsyahoo.com. A pile of trash awaiting recycling helped two Vancouver teenagers survive a 7-story fall from a building roof. Two 18-year-olds had climbed atop an apartment building, apparently to watch Canada Day holiday fireworks, when the cover over a shaftway collapsed and sent them plummeting. Fortunately for the falling boy and girl, the bottom of the shaft was filled with bags of debris that cushioned the impact of landing on a concrete floor. the two were hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries, including broken bones. Next up, Desiree Dorian. You're listening to Roots Rock Radio, your home for the best indie roots rock and real rock and roll from around the globe. RRradio.com.
Thank you. scotch pavement toast, all caught in 20 million like a ghost. Ask a road that looks like this, which way we should go. Cloudless heavens in your head, rainstorms dripping in your bed. Is belief a scratch you've got to itch? What if love is just a feeling? Thank you.
We just heard Joe Buddy, the Down Home King III. We heard their tune, Elevator Boogie. On the web, myspace.com, Yo Bro Joe. They're from Finland. Their CD is called Everything's Gonna Be Alright. The CD has been recorded 100% live in an old wooden room built in the 1860s in the countryside, except two tracks cut at the legendary JJ's in Joe Buddy's hometown in southern Finland. Their label is Ram Bam Records, on the web, ram-bam.com. Before that, we heard Dino Kokia. We heard his tune, Iron City. He's from The Barcodes, on the web, thebarcodes.co.uk. That's Blue Note Music. Before that, we heard Catherine Williams. We heard her tune, Just a Feeling. On the web, youtube.com, Catherine Williams. Record label, One Little Indian Records. On the web, onelittleindian-us.com. Her CD is called The Quickening. And opening this last set, we heard Desiree Dorian. We heard her tune, Soul Blackjack. On the web, myspace.com, Desiree Dorian. Here's some dates in rock and roll history. In 1976, the Ramones, the Stranglers, and the Flamin' Groovies appeared at London's Roadhouse. Tickets were £1.60. In 1976, speaking of the disco era and the punk rock movement, The Clash made their live debut supporting the Sex Pistols at the Black Swan, Sheffield, England. In 1954, working together for the first time in a recording studio with Scotty Moore and Bill Black, Elvis Presley fooled around during a break with an up-tempo version of That's All Right. Producer Sam Phillips has them repeat the jam and records it. It became Presley's first release on Sun Records. In 1978, the manufacturer of Some Girls, the new album by the Stones, was halted at EMI's pressing plant after complaints from celebrities, including Lucille Ball, who were featured in mock advertisements on the album's sleeve. 1967, a private party was held at the Speakeasy Club in London for the Monkees. Guests included John Lennon, George Harrison, Paul McCartney, Eric Clapton, Lulu, and members from Manfred Mann, The Who, and Procol Harum. Here's an important date, 1957. John Lennon and Paul McCartney met for the first time at the Woolton Church Parish Club where the Quarrymen were appearing. As the Quarrymen were setting up for their evening performance, McCartney, eager to impress Lennon, picked up a guitar and played 20 Flight Rock by Eddie Cochran and Bebopalula by Gene Vincent. Lennon was impressed even more so when McCartney showed Lennon and Eric Griffiths how to tune their guitars. Something they'd been paying someone else to do for them. And one of the great rock and roll singles of all time, Jumpin' Jack Flash, hit the top of the charts for the Rolling Stones in 1968. We're having a picnic around here this weekend. Of course, we'll be playing music from artists of the Roots Rock Radio Show and the company of family and friends. So there you have it. Another episode of the Roots Rock Radio Shows. Can you believe it? 141 shows so far. Have a great summer. I'll see you again in a short while. This is Richard Taylor signing off.